Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple.
Baseball.
Bruce Levine.
It's great to talk some baseball.
Score Baseball Insider, covering the Cubs and White Sox for more than 30 years.
Bruce Levine is a newsbreaker.
Inside the Clubhouse co-host.
Great being with you, talking baseball.
Bruce Levine.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
See, Bruce asked the first hard question.
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to our friend Bruce Levine. He joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Morning, Bruce. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I guess class is in session. You're grading the White Sox and Cubs. Is that correct?
It's mid-semester, so I figured it might not be a bad idea. Are you in the grading mode, Bruce?
I'm always grading.
Professor Levine?
I'm grading on your nerves mostly.
That's true. Well played. Well played.
I don't love giving grades, but I like giving percentages. The Cubs are on a percentage track of 96 wins. The White Sox are on a percentage track of 54. 54 is better than last year was, what was it, 41 games last year, right?
Yes.
So I think we talked over the winter many times about a 10 or 15 game improvement would be good. Not satisfying, but good, Mully?
I appreciate some of the scrappiness that they show. I appreciate... I was saying to David, Tauchman changes their lineup. Had he been able to play all year, Luis Robert Jr. not been as bad as he was, they just need someone who can maybe run into it, like any hint of power. And they haven't had that for most of the year. But Tauchman, did he go 3-for-4 yesterday? He just seems like, it seems like they have a better record. I'd love to look it up with him in the lineup versus the whatever 30 games he's missed. They just look like a different team to me.
He's a really underrated hitter, okay? He really is, because if you remember back to the Cubs' woes of last May and June, he was the only guy that was having good at-bats, walking, seeing a lot of pitches, getting hits. He was their best player, and that was one of the reasons why they fell so far behind in May and June last year. But he's a really good player, an underrated player, and somebody that brings out the best. When you have him at the top of the order, we've talked about it for a couple of years now, when you have him at the top of the order, sees a lot of pitches. You know, the other players, particularly the young guys with the White Sox, get to watch him, get to see the other guy's pitches, and he can wear pitchers out. So from that perspective, you know, a very good pickup for the Chicago White Sox. The soft tissue issues have kept him from playing the full schedule so far.
Bruce, let's talk about the Cubs for a moment. 13-13, a .500 team in the month of June. They have not, as you pointed out on X, won a series against a winning team and since late April, and yet I don't know that it's time to panic, and I don't know that you need to overreact. How would you assess where they are in relation to the other good teams in the National League?
Yeah, I think that's a really great question, because for the first, up until June, I think people were saying, well, you know, Milwaukee and St. Louis are not going to be a factor. And, you know, over the last 10 games, Milwaukee's won 8 out of 10, St. Louis 7 out of 10, Cubs are 4 out of 6. So they've made up an awful lot of ground. Milwaukee's made up a ton of ground. So they are a factor, and they are decent teams. I think the reevaluation of the National League Central has to take place. You know, the other divisions are, becoming a little bit wonkier, and I think there's a really good chance more than one team is going to come out of the National League Central to be in the playoff picture. So from all of that, I think what you bring up is really essential. Are the Cubs playing the game of being better themselves or being better than Milwaukee and St. Louis, right? So the best version of themselves going into the last 80 games to try to be one of the best teams going into the playoffs, or just beating out Milwaukee and St. Louis? Those are question marks for Hoyer and company when they look at the trade market here and decide how to and who to add.
Bruce, we had a conversation about Colson Montgomery earlier today because he has done well at AAA Charlotte in the last four games. I think he's got three home runs and six RBI, and that's in the last four games. And I hate to ask it this way, but we've been waiting for him to kind of get his act together. I almost feel like if you don't bring him up now when he's hot, that there's no place for him at the end. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know that he'll ever get up. If you don't get him up this year, I'm not sure what to do with him moving forward. And if he has, like, another slump, I just feel like right now could be a time to bring the guy up and just see what he can do. And I'm not saying that it's good enough where he's at or anything like that. I'm just saying the alternative of being faced with sending him to Arizona again in the offseason, and he's going to play. At some point, he's got to be able to succeed. Why not just bring him up and give him a look?
Molly, why don't you just say it? Let's find out if he's a washout or not.
There right? you go.
I mean, that's pretty much where you're going here. You're being polite about it. But the idea that they put a lot of time into him, he's still a young player, but you get tired of hearing about he's still a young player. We were talking about last year him coming up in June, in August or September, and making a contribution. Three injuries this year. It's been unfortunate getting hit by a pitch a few times. But I'm with you. It's like it's All-Star game time. I think there's the other young players around him that are good enough. They still have the veterans around him. It's like let's see what he's got. If he's ready defensively, when all indications are he's okay there, bring him up, let him play shortstop every day for the White Sox.
So, Bruce, last week we saw Ben Brown have a bad start and get demoted for the Cubs. Then we saw Cade Horton really have his first bad outing of the season against the Astros. How did that affect, if at all, the urgency with which Jed Hoyer is approaching the search for a top-of-the-rotation starter? And how do you need to adjust maybe the timeline because of what is available and what teams are willing to part with at this point in time?
Yeah, I mean, there's only very few that are willing to part. We talked last week about how the Cubs were close to getting Mitch Keller from Pittsburgh, and, you know, that deal fell apart. There aren't a lot of the, you know, we went over it on Sunday. There's probably 16, 18 teams that feel they're still in the race. And, you know, when they say it's a seller's market, it means that teams are not willing to trade one of their top pitchers at this point for a number of reasons. One, they think they're in it. Two, they don't want to put up that red flag to their fan base saying, you know, we surrender the rest of the year, no reason for you to come out. There's a lot of reasons why teams aren't trading their pitchers yet, and I think a few of them will. Are they going to be difference makers? Are you looking for big difference makers? The Cubs are going to be certainly involved in pitching, but they have to get a right-handed hitter. Okay, they're out there looking, you know, at, you know, players like Ryan McMahon of the Colorado Rockies, and Suarez if he becomes available from Arizona, Tyler Ward with the Angels, you know, guys that can provide some pop and also defense at third base to replace Shaw if he doesn't hit. Now, Shaw has been outstanding defensively, but you know, the hit tool is just not where it needs to be right now.
Yeah, it's tough because the priority should be pitching, starting pitching, it's just like you don't want to go out of sequence in a weird way. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, I mean, you have hitting. You have guys that aren't hitting right
yeah,
now. I mean,
you do.
You have, like Hap. Hap has had a bad weekend. 185 with, 161 with a homer and five RBIs. PCA in a slump for a week. One homer and zero homers, one RBI, hitting 185. So they're, you know, some of their players are just, you know, they're not hitting the ball the way they have before. Is it a part of better pitching that they're facing, or just the ebb and flow of a major league season? It's easy to pick apart a week or 10 days. These have been outstanding players that have helped the Cubs get to where they're at. But they're certainly looking to add. You know, the question is, you know, what are they going to add? And are the White Sox going to be able to move Luis Robert now on the IL, hopefully coming off maybe by the end of next week? Will there be enough time for him to continue to show improvement and get moved? Teams like Philadelphia is still kicking the tires on Luis Robert. So we'll see what's going on over the next week or 10 days. He's got a month till the trading deadline now.
We talked about it Saturday a little bit on Inside the Clubhouse, Bruce, but it happened again, and I want to be fair here. Craig Counsell has been a big reason why the Cubs are where they are. I love the way he manages his emotions and the personalities in that clubhouse, and I like most of the buttons that he pushes on a regular basis.
Bad game.
But when Valdez is on the mound, a lefty, you know you're not going to see Michael Bush, and you know that you're going to have Dansby Swanson batting fourth. That's not a good combination, and I just wonder how long this not against lefties Michael Bush thing is going to go on.
Well, you know, again, you've looked at the numbers. We looked at the numbers. They're not good, right, against lefties, right? So that convolutes it. That's all the more reason why they need a right-handed bat, a guy that can play third, maybe third and first, right? So, you know, you're not, you know, as much as everybody loves Turner, you know, you're not getting any pop, any slug out of him at all. So, you know, there's a couple of areas where they can go. They're really not getting much out of their bench. So with that in mind, you know, you're going to need more hitting. But I think Counsell just, you know, it was a bad game for him yesterday. And I think he's among, if not the best manager in baseball. There's very few times this year that I think anybody could argue with the way that he went about it. I think, you know, leaving, you know, his starting pitcher in yesterday was a mistake at 107 pitches. You know, just, I know what he was trying to do. You know, he had gotten Altuve out, struck him out twice. But, you know, again, this one didn't work out. And I think if he had to take it back, he would do it over again.
Yeah, I mean, you know, J-Mo, what was it, 31 pitches against one player in that game? That'll ruin you. And he seemed tired at that point, and I don't know.
Mike, there's nothing to prove there, right?
Yes.
Tommy Hotovy comes out and says, okay, this is your last hitter. Here's how we're going to approach him. What's the point? The bullpen is going to have to go four innings anyway, right? There's no way around it. You know, it's the fifth inning. So, you know, a fresh arm there. But again, it's the ultimate second guess. Would I want a manager other than Craig Counsell running the Cubs? Absolutely not. I think he's done a fabulous job.
Miguel Amaya is on the road back. Apparently he could be back before the All-Star break. He's resumed baseball activities.
Yeah. As far as I don't think anybody could complain about Reese McGuire and what he's done to replace Amaya. I think it's been pretty outstanding, hasn't it? I mean, the guy has five home runs, a lot of big hits, defensively has done the job. So as much as they need Amaya and they miss him, you know, all credit due to McGuire and the way that Counsell has used both McGuire and Kelly to intersperse, keeping both guys fresh.
Just a couple of the bullpen guys from the Sox. I thought that Grant Taylor was spectacular, and Adrian Hauser pitched great, by the way. But they actually won a game 1-0. It was amazing to see, and I think that Grant Taylor was just excellent in that moment. Then you get to the next game, And here comes Mike Vassell, who they described as a Swiss Army knife, because he can open a game, he can pitch innings in the middle of a game, and in this case, he came in with the bases loaded and induced a double play, and then got a save, his second save of the year. So it's like both those young pitchers really had a spectacular showing over the weekend as the White Sox managed to win a series against the Giants.
Well, Taylor, you know, we're going to start hearing about, gee, why are you using him in the bullpen? Why is he a closer with that arm, right? I mean, every Sox fan's going to say, that's a big arm. You know, why aren't you using it to extend out and be one of the main starting pitchers? And I think in spring training, that'll be the number one priority for the White Sox, is to decide, you know, whether Taylor continues to be a dominant closer, which he appears he can be. He's certainly not there yet, but with that stuff and the makeup that the kid has, you know, there's really no reason to think he won't continue on that track. But when you look at, you know, what the needs are, and you have this big arm, you're going to be very tempted to say, look, we have to stretch him out. He's got to be a starting pitcher. I doubt that we'll hear anything in spring training other than, hey, we're stretching all of our pitchers out, and whatever they are at the end of March, that's what they'll be. And I think Taylor will be the primary subject and object of everybody's attention as we move forward. But that's a great arm, great breaking ball. I mean, you know, the sky should be the limit for him. As far as, you know, you brought up, you know, the idea of other pitchers and the availability of some of the veterans for the White Sox being available in trades. No reason why the Cubs can't look at White Sox pitchers, right?
Okay.
Adrian Hauser or maybe Savale? Come on.
Is that not sexy enough for you, David?
No, he doesn't play
I don't know, Bruce. I think
because
Adrian Hauser...
he's a White Sox pitcher?
Because he was in the minor leagues not too long ago.
I just look at it, Bruce. I agree. Seven starts have been very impressive. And hearing Stoney call him a number two quality starter yesterday on Hit and Run was interesting and telling. I just wonder, seven games, he's been in the majors for 9 years, and nobody, I think, before this year has been like, I need Adrian Hauser to get us over the top. It was just, I think your sights can be higher than that if you're Jed Hoyer.
I agree. But, you know, we talked about Sandy Alcantara and the problem he had the last time out. Six runs, short outing. You know, are you really trading top of your young players, your best minor leaguers, for a chance on him coming back to being the pitcher that he is? What great pitcher is going to be out there available? I think that's what you have to ask yourself as they look here to establish some more starting pitching in the rotation.
And frankly, Bruce, I'm not even talking about like Owen Casey. Give me whatever minor league guy is blocked by him, and he could
Mully
start for the White Sox.
Mully thinks that Kevin Alcantara could start right now for the White Sox.
Yes.
I wouldn't hesitate. What would David? What would be the hesitation?
Kevin Alcantara for Adrian Hauser?
No,
Alcantara is starting every day for the White Sox.
I think that probably you're right. I think
You act like I'm an idiot.
No, Mully, I'm not acting like you're an idiot.
And then you think about he could.
No, I'm not acting like you're an idiot. I don't know if I think the crosstown thing is maybe the one thing that gives me pause.
I agree, David. I understand. You know, the White Sox aren't looked at, the players aren't looked at it at the same level, but there's plenty of good players on the White Sox that are making their way up and trying to reestablish themselves. So it's worth a look, that's for sure.
Bruce, I want to go back to Grant Taylor for a second, because it's my understanding that Brian Bannister did answer that question of why not a starter. And it was kind of this idea that the way that he pitches and the extension he has going forward, he could damage his arm. That they want to be careful because it's an elite arm and he can do things that remind him of other closers. I'm with you. There's no doubt that him as a starter would be a more valuable pitcher, but it's almost like I felt that way about Chris Sale, and then obviously he became a starting pitcher, and we've seen that happen before on the South Side. Crochet's another example of it, but both those guys have been through injury. I'm just wondering if they see something, and Bannister is willing to tell you whatever thought he has. I thought he was very transparent about it. Is that a bad thing to say? I meant it as a compliment.
Look,
he's not afraid to tell you the truth.
We all have been covering baseball for a long time. No one yet has documented to me a pitcher with good mechanics and a strong arm doesn't benefit from throwing the baseball, okay? More throwing, right? More pitching. There's never been any case for we know this guy's going to hurt himself if he continues to pitch this way. If they have that kind of data, the guy shouldn't be throwing at all, right? I mean,
Fair enough.
You can injure yourself just as quickly in one or two innings as you can trying to pitch five or six. So strong arm, keep throwing, great mechanics. This is a really exciting young player. It's their guy. I know there maybe the idea is we're trying to save him until we're better to be a starter.
Right.
If you want to use that philosophy. Yeah, I don't know if you can really do that or not.
Would you say, if I'm hearing you correctly, I think what I'm hearing is Grant Taylor greater than sign Paul Skeens. That's what you're saying, basically, right?
Greater than, say that again.
Grant Taylor greater than sign Paul Skeens, his old college teammate.
Yeah, well, I mean,
he's better than Skeens, is what you're
saying. No, I'm not saying that.
I hear you saying
that's not
better
going
than
on
Skeens.
X.
Yeah, that's not going on X. No,
that's not
we're not aggregating that. We're not going to bring it back and throw it in your face 10 days later.
No, that's not going there on X. But he is a fabulous arm, and you know, there are comps, you know, no doubt about it. The guy has a terrific arm. I'm just excited to see good White Sox players out there staying in ball games, you know, watching guys like Teal progress, guys like, Quirrell playing well, the third baseman Valdez playing pretty well. So it's a better quality of games. They're still losing way too many games, but the White Sox are watchable in 2025, which they weren't last year.
Great stuff, Bruce.
You're
enjoy the
best,
day
Bruce.
Off.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, guys. Take care.
I don't know why he doesn't like Skeens. I just made that all up.
No games today. What's Bruce going to do with himself? There's no games in town.
I think he's going to cover like a college game, a high school game. There's got to be an American Legion game somewhere. Bruce never stops. Yeah, no, I don't like when they're both off.
Both teams are off today.
You shouldn't do that.
Last day of June. So, yeah, they need to rest and recover, and the Sox are headed west.
I know what we're doing. We're focusing on basketball free agency, right?
That's right.
It starts tonight.
And NHL free agency, too.
It doesn't start tonight, does it?
But tomorrow, midnight tonight.
Yeah, all right.
Mitch Marner might be in Vegas by morning.
I thought he was coming here.
Signing trade with the Golden Knights likely to happen.
Did you not call him?
I did not call him.
I thought you were in charge of the recruitment. All right. That's great stuff from Bruce. 312-644-6767. Mullion Hall on the score.
Marner looks tired. Oh, he looks tired. Oh, he's got the puck. Oh, my gosh. Here he goes. Oh, he scored. Oh, he won.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it's really refreshing!
You know, it can take some time. I mean, it can take 5 to 8 years to really realize, you know, how impactful or lack of impact a trade may have. And, you know, so obviously you're looking to get an immediate return and a player perhaps to come up here and produce out of the gate. Where we're at right now, obviously we're looking at the long-term health of the organization. Thankfully, an example, I guess, would be the Crochet deal. We were able to get a handful of players that were at the upper levels of the minor leagues, and we're able to see those guys getting comfortable now at the big league level between Teal and Mydroth and obviously Vargas from last year.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. That's the voice of Chris Getz. 5 to 8 years? Do you have that kind of time?
No, you don't have that kind of time. I think that you'd like to accelerate that by a couple. Hmm. Chris Getz was in the CHSN booth on Friday night during their all-access broadcast, which is always very entertaining. And I think he picked a good weekend to address the state of the White Sox overall, because they did play very clean baseball. You did see signs of life, and they are more watchable, and they beat a good team. Now, the Giants scored 5 runs in 3 games, and they lost 2 consecutive series to the Marlins and the White Sox, so they're struggling right now.
Yep.
But that's baseball, and you need to take advantage for the Sox, and being at home, they picked a good weekend to be playing at a high level.
Yeah, it was a good. It was a really good result for the White Sox, no shadow of a doubt. But I just wonder, David, you know, it's nice to have a trade work out. And Vargas, being as good as he's been, you know, they gave up a lot. It got nothing in return. Like, Eric Fetty remains, like, a really solid pitcher, and you gave him up. And Tommy Pham, still a Major League Baseball player, and you gave him up. And obviously, you talk about Michael Kopech and the injury and all the rest of it. And boy, the Dodgers, like, isn't it kind of unfair that Sox go out to LA next? The Dodgers, like, are they like a great team, or are they a team with just a ton of money? Like, it just feels like they can buy anybody they want to, mm-hmm. and they can do whatever move they choose. And not everyone, it seems unfair.
Yeah, it makes, that's kind of been.
Their bank account is big.
Yeah, they also make some good decisions, though.
I know.
They make some very good decisions. I don't think it's just about the money. I think they do have a plan. They have very smart people making evaluations. And their system remains, I think their minor league system is either second or fourth, depending on what source you use in the right. latest minor league baseball rankings. So they're the top echelon of Major League Baseball and minor league baseball. The Sox, they go on the road, and this week they play the Dodgers in L.A. and then the Rockies. Now, that to me is where there's an opportunity for the White Sox. That's where I think – that's my Colson Montgomery window. That's where it opens, in Denver against the Rockies, and he's having some success. It feels like now, I don't want to say never, but this is the opportunity. They need to take advantage of this. It's an opportune time to bring up one of your top prospects. And by the end of the week, it would be great if your infield is maybe you mix and you match, but you have Colson Montgomery, you have Chase Mydroth, you have Miguel Vargas at first, maybe Lenin Sosa at third, or some variation of that. But those are the guys you'd like to see in the mix.
I think that the problem that I'm having with the White Sox, and I'm not blaming Chris Getz, but he was there. The problem I'm having is that they did really well in the trade because Boston has a really good farm system and really wanted Crochet. Mm-hmm. What about the Sox picks? Where are they? Where are the players the White Sox invested in and drafted and why aren't they getting more guys like that coming out of here? Great to see Grant Taylor.
Yeah, Grant Taylor's
that's a success story. No, I'm saying that's one.
Noah Schultz is at AAA.
He's not in the Major League team.
Hagen Smith is
came back and had a performance. And
kind of got drafted, though. I mean, yeah. Hagen Smith is still a ways away.
Right, but I'm saying, you know, we've gone through years. Mm-hmm. With high draft picks, very high draft picks. Mm-hmm. Where's Andrew Vaughn? Where is Nick Madrigal? Mm-hmm. I'm not picking on him over those two players, but Colson Montgomery is a great example mm-hmm. of the White Sox drafting, maybe not developing, or maybe not taking the right player. I don't know. But it seems like when you watch these kids from Boston doing as well as they are, it underscores, well, why didn't you draft
But you could flip that, and I'm not trying for the sake of argument, but you could say, well, they were drafted by Boston, and they're being developed well by the White Sox. So that part of it is that, you know, they have ascended in the Sox organization. Chase Mydroth mm-hmm. has done quite well. It has a great slide yesterday. Kyle Teal, they've handled that pretty well. He's hitting the cover off the ball. Gonzalez, it remains to be seen, but Braden Montgomery, we talked to Ryan Fuller on Inside the Clubhouse on Saturday, and he was so high on Braden Montgomery's assessment that I had to ask him if Braden Montgomery might be a candidate to be brought up by the end of this year. So that's the kind of development that's going on.
But David, the Braden Montgomery, that's another example of like a really good player that they got in that. He's maybe the name of that trade, if it's not Teal. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just saying,
but
shouldn't they have had more already? And where is all these, some of those pitchers that you thought were on their way have had different injuries and different kind of.
I don't know. I don't necessarily agree with it. I think that Schultz and Smith are, if they end up in Chicago sooner rather than later, and maybe it's not until next year opening day, but I think like they're on the schedule. I think that those two guys are on schedule. Grant Taylor jumped them, and he's at the major league level. Those three
arms.
But
he's not a starting pitcher.
No, not yet.
Starters. Not yet. I'm just saying.
But those three arms are worth getting excited about. And so you look at the young pitching depth, and then you've got Wolko, who's hitting the cover off the ball in the minors as well. Sox have reasons. I mean, I get what they're selling. I don't know that you total buy in, but I think that there are reasons for hope that you see guys starting to hit. And that what Chris Getz talked about also was that you can see a core developing, and a core is 3 to 5 to 7 players that you can believe might actually be major leaguers. That's progress. And I think that's what you look for now during the trade deadline. How can you build around that? Whether it's Adrian Houser, Luis Robert Jr., Aaron Civale, how are you going to use these guys to continue to strengthen your core?
Okay, I'll be patient.
I'm not asking you for patience. You can be as impatient as you want. But I have no choice.
I mean,
you don't have any choice.
They are not going to be competitive for a while.
You don't have any choice. But I wouldn't be down on the White Sox for their, because they don't have talented young players in the system. I'd be down on the White Sox if you choose to be down on the White Sox because you're not sure how much they're willing to spend to surround that young talent with veterans.
That's a very good reason.
It's a very similar dynamic that the White Sox and the Blackhawks are very similar right now in terms of their decisions and their growth and how they're going to integrate veteran talent they might have to pay for or acquire with the young talent that they have drafted and developed.
I think the Blackhawks per capita have more talented young players than the White Sox do.
Well, Kyle Davidson's made 11 first-round draft picks in 4 years.
Well, I'm just saying.
They better have more talent.
Okay.
Now, that's young talent. That's really right.
And it's frustrating that they're not kind of – and I keep hearing, well, they're a year away. In another year, they're going to go try to – get some of these players, that's fine. Like the White Sox don't have any Connor Bedard. They don't have anybody that you would say is akin to a player like that. That would be like having someone, I'm trying to think, who would be Bedard-like in Major League Baseball? It'd be someone that's kind of an MVP candidate type of guy. Maybe Kansas City has a player like that. That you could compare to Connor Bedard, but the White Sox don't.
No, they don't. I mean, Connor Bedard was 1-1, first round, first choice overall. And, you're talking about he's the Paul Skeens of his sport when he came out. He was the guy everybody wanted, and he's the guy that people believe is generational, or when he came into the league, they did. It's a big offseason for Connor Bedard, as Frank Saravalli told us.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of player that you're talking about. So the Sox had an opportunity to draft first overall this year, but
the system did him in. Yeah.
The system did him in, so they're going to be drafting 10th instead. And it's a big draft for Chris Getz and company.
Bobby Witt Jr. was the second overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of comparable.
Yeah.
Someone like that. It has that natural feel to them.
Well, I hate to full circle, but that was Colson Montgomery. That was supposed to be Colson Montgomery. when he was drafted, at the spot he was drafted, you know, he was going to be your version of that. And the way that he was ranked after a first season or so, that never came to pass yet. So I think that he's not looking like he's profiling like that kind of a player that he was drafted to be, but he still is on a hot streak, and that's why I think there's an opportunity here this week to call him up to see what you got.
How did Bruce put it? To determine whether or not he's a bust.
He was a 22nd pick overall, so I'm not comparing him to a top five pick, but he did ascend to the point where he was
a high school kid at 22nd overall. It's pretty incredible.
Pretty incredible. And he was a top 10 prospect in Major League Baseball at one point in time.
He was. Yes, he was.
That's where he was ranked. And now to see where he is now, you might be, you know, feeling, if you're Chris Getz, okay, let's see what you got. Because that's the other thing. They're a philosophy in bringing guys up.
Is let's see what they got.
Yeah, and it's worked. Look at Kyle Teal.
Kyle Teal belongs. He and their catcher position, Edgar Caro, the two of them mean they've solved one position for years to come.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows, maybe they'll end up being too good and they'll be forced to trade one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they've got two excellent catchers moving forward, young guys that could develop into really good players. I don't know that there's any other position that you can say that about. I don't know that they have an answer at any other position.
How about Corey Lee, too, in the minors?
Yeah.
That's another one.
Yeah. He's a trade candidate. Right?
Yeah, I think he's probably a trade candidate. Yeah. You got a very crowded position, and you're not going to take it bats away from either Caro or Kyle Teal. He's the odd man out.
Yeah, it's pity, but I don't have a problem with it the way this has worked out thus far. It's been great. The other thing is they got these young pitching, this core of young pitchers.
See, that's hopefully, what I mean. So
but David, like Shane Smith's one of the top ones. They got him as a pick, a Rule 5 mm-hmm. guy. Ditto Mike Vassell, Rule 5 guy. You shouldn't have two Rule 5 guys on your team.
But you drafted Hagen Smith, Noah Schultz, and Grant Taylor.
Yes.
And those three guys are still a big part of your future.
You made trades for all these guys. Like, where are all those guys? I know you had a couple blown out arms, but like Nick Nastrini, where is he? Is he coming? Paulette, where is he at? Wasn't he supposed to be their great bullpen piece? I'm just saying, I know a lot of names. I just don't know how quickly they're on the come
right
here. All right, we got to take a moment. We're going to talk to our colleagues. I believe it's Mark Grody and Marshall Harris.
Yes, it is. But first, we want to give you a chance to win something really special here on The Score. It's your time to call in and be the sixth caller and win a Bluetooth speaker in honor of the 100th anniversary of Cubs radio broadcast. The first 10,000 fans, subject to availability, on July 3rd, that's Thursday, will receive a Bluetooth speaker when the Cubs take on the Guardians. Catch the game live on the free Odyssey app or tune in to 670 The Score. Right now, though, call 312-540-0670, 312-540-0670, and you might win a Bluetooth speaker in honor of the 100th anniversary of Cubs radio broadcast.
Mulligan Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's refreshing!